Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
You're listening to the Blonde Files podcast. I'm your host, Arielle Lori. Today, I'm talking to Sarah Larson-Levy. Sarah is the founder of Y7 Studio, which is a yoga studio with locations all over New York City and Los Angeles, and they are going to be opening up a bunch more across the country. So follow her, follow the studio so that you can be abreast of that. It's really unique, which she will talk about in this episode. Sarah's story is really interesting because she didn't plan to do this. She didn't go to school for it. It was really born out of necessity after being really turned off by the yoga scene in New York. So it's fascinating to hear her talk about becoming a business owner, being a female entrepreneur, growing really quickly, managing a team. She has over 300 employees at this point, and just evolving with the business. Also, it doesn't hurt that she's just a really cool chick. She's funny. She's fun to talk to, and I think you guys are going to love this episode. All right, so I have Sarah Larson-Levy. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm so excited. We're kind of like internet pals.
I know, it's the best.
The best, yeah, I love it. You're kind of a big deal. I was like getting ready for the interview, so I was looking at other interviews you've done. You were on the cover of Inc. magazine. Was that this year?
It came out September 2018.
So I'm like way behind.
No.
But that's a really big deal.
Thank you.
And I was watching some other videos that you were on like CNBC.
Oh, yeah. Power Lunch?
I was dying, I have to say. The anchor was like, you know, the hip hop. Like,
I had so much media training for that because it was really? Live.
Yeah, you were really good. I was like, wow, I would not doing well with this.
I mean, thank God you couldn't see my hands because I was like gripping them like so tightly because
really?
I was so nervous. Well, it's live and you never know what questions they're going to ask. And yeah. I don't really know how to do math. So that was really, I was like, oh, please don't ask me about like numbers. I can't do mental math. So it was a lot of just kind of like prepping for, you know, the kinds of questions that they normally ask on those shows, which is something I've never done before. So
yeah.
That was like a little scary. I feel better about it now.
It's very stressful, I would imagine. But it was funny like seeing like the anchors talking about like the vibe of your studio.
Probably,
and then there was another one, like it was like another like CBS affiliate or something like that.
Yeah.
And the guy was like 125 years old.
Oh, I love that guy.
He was so cute.
Oh my gosh.
So funny.
He was, I forget his name, but he was wonderful.
Yeah.
What a guy.
Yeah. Yeah. You did great though. So you better bring it today. That's
all right.
I'm saying.
Pressure is on.
Just kidding. So obviously you've built a huge brand in a relatively short amount of time, and I really want to get to that. But what did you, let's like rewind.
Sure.
What did you see yourself doing when you were younger?
Oh my gosh. So I'm very bad at like commitment. So when I was younger, even when I graduated college, I had no idea what I wanted to do, what I wanted to be. Like, I wish, like, I was never one of those people who were like, I'm going to be a doctor. I want to be a dentist. I want to work in, like, finance. Like, I never had that. I was like, I guess I'll just do something. Like, I guess I'll get a job. So, for me, it was, like, so many different things. And I went to a school where it was very heavy on like prep. So
where did you go?
I went to Country Dive. So it's just like a Greenwich? Small private school. No.
Okay. Yeah, you're not from this area, are you?
No.
Okay.
I grew up in the Midwest, and so all my classes were like super, super like preparatory classes, right? Mm-hmm. So like I got to college and like didn't know there were like things like other career choices other than like teacher, doctor, lawyer, bank, finance, all of that. Like I was like shook. I was like, oh my God, there's so many different things I can do. So I didn't have like a thing.
Right.
That was the really long answer to your very
question. No, it's interesting. Was yoga a part of your life back then?
No. So I didn't love yoga, but I've always loved the idea of it. Like I love the mind-body connection. I love, you know, that yoga kind of encompasses more than just a physical movement. It's such a mental practice. It's a way you live your life. Like there's so many different facets to it that I really, really love, but I just couldn't find a studio that I felt comfortable in. Mm-hmm. You know, it for me, like someone trying to enter the practice as, you know, out of college, you know, trying to find a studio in the city, it just, I would go in, there's like all these bright lights, then New York is full of like dancers and models and like all of these people who are like so beautiful and like in shape. And I was like, what is
happening?
Yeah, it's
intimidating.
And I just, you know, I never felt like I knew enough to be in a studio. Mm-hmm. You know, there would be, you know, Sanskrit used or Dharma used that I didn't know about. And I immediately felt excluded right away. And it made it hard for me to want to, you know, go back and commit and all of that stuff. So that's kind of where, you know, the idea of Y7 came about is this space where, you know, we're going to use some Sanskrit, but we're going to make the Dharma really accessible, right? We're going to offer up an idea of, say, you know, attention or awareness. And that's kind of, you can take that however you want. You can take it to be attention to your body. You can take it to mean attention to, you know, your mind or just attention to something you want to focus on. Maybe you're focusing on just being still in the space and like that's fine too. So it's really, really open and inclusive in terms of, you know, learning about all the nuances of the practice.
So how did you learn yoga to begin with?
I mean, I actually didn't get certified until like 2 years into the business.
Oh, wow.
When we were training teachers, I was just telling them the way I wanted to take class and what I wanted out of a class. And it was, you know, consistency, movement, and music and just having fun. Like I wanted to be really, really light. I think, especially in New York, like we're going a million miles a minute. We were just talking about this earlier. And like the fact that people are spending 1 hour with me, I think is like pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Like I think that people are willing to like pay to spend an hour at Y7. I think that's absolutely incredible. And we should make it as consistent, accessible and fun as possible.
Mm-hmm. So you were at college, you moved to the city after,
yeah.
And you were working in fashion, right?
I was working in fashion. I was an account executive.
Okay.
So
I
got to travel a lot. I sold a couple of lines to like boutiques and specialty stores and then, you know, some of the bigger guys.
Mm-hmm. And well. You were doing yoga on the side and then
yeah.
I was trying to figure out how you went from that to...
It's a great question. I don't remember. I mean, I do. I know how it happened. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, it was started as a side hustle. I also had, I pinched my sciatic nerve in 2012 and kind of the only thing I was able to do was yoga. They were like,
okay,
no running. I was like, cool. No spinning. I was like, okay. And I was like, what do I do?
Right.
And that they were like, listen, you need to like strengthen like your back and like all this stuff. You have to do yoga.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay. And so that's what really kind of got me into like trying all these different studios and just not resonating with any of them. So, you know, Y7, that I just wanted my own.
Yeah.
And that was kind of it. We started as a pop-up actually 6 years ago this past Saturday.
Wow.
And it grew from there. It was a thing that was only on weekends and I had my job. I was able to kind of like, you know, afford it. We were like renting a space by the hour and, you know, a month in when we were going to close the pop-up and that was kind of it. Someone asked to buy a package. So I lied to her and told her we were finding a permanent space. And I was like, oh, like maybe we should do this.
Right.
And then, you know, New York's so cool, I think, because at the time there was like all these kind of artist lofts like popping up in Williamsburg and Brooklyn. that was close to where I lived at the time. And we found this really great space for like $1,000 a month. It was like 350 square feet. We could fit like eight mats. And like, that's how it started, out of this like tiny little room. And, you know, 3 months in, we were selling out that and we found a different space. We were able to get like month to month in this like, this building. It was a co-working space still in Williamsburg, but we went to the basement because we didn't need light.
Right.
At all. It was better for us. More convenient. So we did that and, you know, no one wanted that space. So we got a really good deal and we were on month-to-month contract and everything's just kind of snowballed from there.
That's crazy.
So yeah, the spring of 2015 is when I quit my job.
So tell people about, you were saying that you don't need the light. So tell people about why Y7 is different. Like how,
So it is, the studio room is dark, it's candlelit, and we took out all the mirrors. We use infrared heating technology to heat the room, and we move to the beat of the music. So when we're taking, we practice a vinyasa style, so what that means is one breath, one movement, and we coordinate the breath with the music, and the music gets faster and faster and faster until kind of the peak of class. So you are sweating, your heart rate is up, like you're struggling to keep up with that breath. And that's kind of, you know, the point of it is that like you're moving, you're doing this mindful movement, but you're doing it in a way that's getting your heart pumping and you're moving, getting stronger.
Mm-hmm. We need to try that, Kennedy, next time we're here. Because I'm kind of like, I'm in the boat of where you were, like maybe in college or whatever. Like I think honestly, I've probably only done like 5 yoga classes ever in my life. And I have that experience of like going to a studio and it's bright and everyone's in their like yoga perfection clothes and doing all the stuff. And I don't even know what they're talking about. And I'm looking in the mirror and I can't keep up. And I'm like, okay, this is not benefiting me at all.
And I think the beauty of what we do is that, so, you know, there's a section of class where you take the flow on your own. And that's an opportunity for someone who's a beginner to maybe like take a child's pose. Like, it's cool. Or maybe take out some of the more advanced poses that they don't want to do and their body's not ready for. Or if you're a little bit more advanced and you want to take the bind, you want to do the arm balance, like that's your opportunity to really make the practice your own. And I think that's the cool part, right? And to your point, you know, going into a room that's so bright and all these mirrors, it, for me at least, and, you know, I think a lot of other people, you look at yourself, you're like, oh, I should look like, you know, that person over there. I should look like the teacher. And that's just never going to happen. Mm-hmm. And it also takes you out of the practice. You know, like my body is completely different than yours. We're different heights. We probably weigh different things. And so how I look in a pose is not how you're going to look in a pose. And that's just anatomy. That has nothing to do with skill level. It's just we have different bodies. So, you know, I think that's the thing that's a little tricky about, you know, how some people practice. And yes, you do want to look at your form and all that stuff, but I've found it more beneficial to me if I can feel where my body is in the pose as opposed to see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You must have a lot of feedback because you guys are so inclusive in that way. And you must have had, like, people probably just, it's probably been life-changing, I would imagine, for a lot of people, because I know people can turn to yoga in hard times. And, I mean, did you have any experience with that?
Yeah, I think, you know, you know, when I personally practice, I think yoga for me has really been the space where I can actually shut my mind off. And I need that movement, though. Like, I need to be focusing on something else in order to kind of shut off, if that makes sense. It's kind of counterintuitive. But, you know, when I was in more traditional classes and they're like, empty your mind, I was like, oh, no.
Right.
I was like, you're trying so hard not to think of anything, just picturing like a blank wall. And then I get like all this anxiety.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, it just doesn't work for me. So, you know, when I'm moving and like bringing my attention like to my body and my breath, that's where my attention is. And like my mind just kind of empties out. And I think that, you know, we do get a lot of feedback about, you know, people who've been going through something and this was like, you know, their time. This was like their 1 hour where they could really just like be in the dark, cry if they wanted to,
right,
and not have to think about anything else.
I want to come to Y7 and do yoga and cry.
Anytime. I know.
I feel like that's what I need right now.
And everyone always kind of whispers, they're like, sometimes I cry in Shavasana. I'm like, I cry every time for literally no reason other than you just feel a really great release, you know? Yeah. And like you have, you know, our teachers, like, they're always dropping these like little nuggets of wisdom. It's like, they can say like the littlest thing. I'm like, I just like lose my mind. But it's, you know, you come out and it's like a totally, you feel lighter is what I want everyone to feel when they come out of class. I want everyone to feel like emotionally and physically just like a little bit lighter. Mm-hmm. Like there's not just so much weight on their shoulders.
Right. Do you still do other kinds of exercise or is it pretty much only yoga?
No. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I do. I mean, I'll spin. There's a lot of really great like sculpting classes in the city that I love. My favorite in LA is Bunda.
I don't know that.
Oh my gosh. It's
Kennedy
so,
knows. Kennedy's got her.
Yeah, it's actually my friend Katie owns the studio and it's amazing. It's like instead of you know, like a treadmill workout and then like a floor workout, it's a Stairmaster and it's all about your butt. And I love it.
Nice. Kennedy loves a Stairmaster.
It's so good. It's great.
Bunda, where is that?
West Hollywood.
Okay, of course.
Yeah.
West Hollywood's got all the
stuff.
Yeah. So something that's cool about your studio and your story is that you have always been a client, right? You've never did you ever teach in the beginning? Wow.
Uh-uh.
That's very unique, I feel.
Yeah, it is. And you know, I don't know. For me, I don't have that itch to teach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the client. You know, the studio is created for me and what I wanted to see in a yoga class and how I wanted to feel. And we have such incredible teachers and such an amazing staff that, you know, do feel passionate about teaching and they give way more than I ever could, I think, in a class. So, you know, for me, I've always kind of made a choice to stay on the business side and the client side. And also, you know, the studio is not really about me. It's not about like what I have to give, like what wisdom I can impart on people because I probably can't. But, you know, it's not about me. It's about the clients. Mm-hmm. It's about the experience that they're having. And it's making sure that, you know, we're doing the best we can to kind of serve our clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And something, I mean, I want to hear kind of how, like what you attribute your success to. But I know you've said part of it is like hiring. It's all in the hiring, right? And adding culture. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So I mean, I'm not good at a lot of things. So like I don't do math. I don't like spreadsheets. And those are things, those are like, you know, necessary things for a business. So I think, you know, the success is entirely due to my team. I mean, that's just like a fact. They are absolutely incredible. And we've really cultivated this, you know, amazing group of people who are experts in their own areas. So my VP of finance is basically a human calculator. She can see so far ahead. Like she is like the one helping with like schedule changes too, because she wants to like make sure that like, you know, analyzing like the demographics and like all of that, like are people living here? Are they working there? Like that is like what like she is so good at, right? And then I have my director of people who is just like so in tune with everything that's going on in terms of like the workforce and what people are, you know, staying at companies for and what they want out of a culture. And I think that those, you know, and there's so many other people. And
you have 300 employees, right? Over 300?
Yeah, over 300.
Wow.
That's between, you know, that's between teachers, front desk, my cleaning staff, my studio managers, everybody. So there's a lot of people that make this happen. Yeah. It's wild.
How do you learn how to navigate that, like as an entrepreneur? Because I imagine like, I mean, you didn't set out to do this. It was all kind of like, I mean, it's not like you were like, I'm going to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah. No, I'm more of sort of an accidental entrepreneur, mm-hmm. I guess. I mean, it's taken a lot of, I've learned a lot. Like I am so far from perfect and I've made a lot of mistakes. I used to be super, super reactive to like every situation. I used to take everything so personally. Like someone even would leave, you know, like a bad review about class and I would like have a mental breakdown. I was like, nobody likes it. This is awful.
Catastrophizing.
You know? And I think, you know, you have to take a step back. So I've learned, you know, throughout the years how to be less reactive and ask more questions and be a little bit more open and understand that everybody communicates differently, right? Like it's all about how you communicate with people, how you relate to them and giving people sort of the space to talk and, you know, to express what they need to. And that's, you know, you can only, I think really, truly, you can only learn that stuff by experience. And, you know, sometimes you think you're being so clear and direct and the other person's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And, you know, what we've worked really hard for, you know, throughout the company is to, like, if someone isn't understanding something or it's not getting through, what we've worked really hard on is making sure that we have an open line of communication to be like, hey, if you don't understand something, like, just ask. Like, maybe I'm not explaining it right, you know?
Right.
And I think that's a lot of what I've had to learn in management.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, management is tough, right? I mean,
it's the hardest part. It really is.
I had to take management classes, like, in college, and I was like, wow, this is way more complicated than I ever thought it was. And especially with a company your size.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a whole culture, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's super interesting because you never think about it until, like, someone gives you that, like, negative feedback. You're like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I came off like that. You're like, oh, whoops.
So how did you learn how to be less reactive? Do you have a practice? Do you meditate? Do you do anything?
No, I'm not a meditator. I wish I was.
Yoga is kind of like meditation, though.
Yeah, for me, that's like my space to do that. But, you know, we're a huge culture of feedback. Mm-hmm. So even, like, you know, when I was first hiring my corporate team a couple years ago, we had reviews every other month. And they're really more like check-ins.
That sounds scary.
Yeah, it's not like, it sounds a lot more serious, but it's more so like check-ins. Like, what's working? Are you happy? Here's what you're doing really great. Here's where I think you can improve. And I actually have our director of people do mine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
So I get feedback. We do it now once a quarter because we have a lot going on. So we do it now once a quarter. And I just had my check-in review session today.
How'd you do?
Earlier today. I'm doing okay. I mean, I think there's always improvements, but it's too, like, I know that, like, I can also be better, right? Like, I didn't set out to do this. This is the first time I'm doing something like this.
Right.
I'm, you know, trying to navigate this just as much as everybody else. Yeah. So it's important for me to kind of make sure that I'm also hearing, like, things about myself that I can improve on, that I can work on too. And, you know, the same goes for the rest of the team. So I think that's super helpful, especially when, you know, everyone on my team is a team of one, basically. My corporate team is, like, you know, my, like, marketing director always, like, laughs because everyone's like, oh, like, you know, who else is on your team when you're doing strategy? And she's like, it's me. And so, cause it, you know, perception, it's such a bigger operation, but we're still a really tiny team. Like, our corporate team's only 10.
Mm-hmm.
So we're super tiny.
I love it, though.
Yeah, it's fun.
Sounds like you guys are close.
Yeah.
Which is...
I love them very much.
If they're listening.
I love you.
So what were some of the biggest challenges in, I don't know, like the first couple of years, like as you were building?
Oh, gosh. You know, the first couple of years was really, you're learning a whole new thing. And, you know, boutique fitness as a whole is pretty new as well. It's, you know, not, you know, kind of a tried and true thing that's been around forever. We're kind of seeing the switch from like the big gym models to more boutique and specialized studios. So that area was so new too. It's kind of like, I don't know, like there was a point, you know, and especially with yoga is very different. There's a lot of studios who, you know, smaller studios who still operate on this model of like a work trade kind of. So like, you know, work the front desk, but you get to take class for free. And so it, because it's just a different, it's been around for so long. Mm-hmm. It's never been, you know, boutique fitness wasn't a thing 10 years ago, really, you know? So there was a lot of like employment things. Like, what are we doing? We have everyone who works for me is an employee. So there was like all of that kind of to navigate because everyone's part-time. So it's like, do we 1099 them? So there's a lot of that area to kind of navigate to. And, you know, so there was a lot of that stuff going on. There's like all these payroll systems. There's learning everything about, we were touching on permits earlier. Like,
Right.
I didn't know that, like, I didn't know anything about permitting.
Yeah.
So, you know, getting to, you know, the DOB, the Department of Buildings, and going through the city and making sure all your sprinklers are up to code.
What?
And like all of this stuff. Like I thought.
Getting fire extinguishers packed, like, right? Like things.
I thought you like just that. Like signed a lease. Like you signed a lease for an apartment. I was like,
get the keys.
I was like, I don't just like sign here and like it's mine. Like that's not how it works. I was like, oh, okay. So yeah, just like I think a lot of that was like a big struggle in the beginning, and we're finally in like a really like, you know, I would say in the last like 2 years, but gotten like really, really buttoned up in terms of all that stuff. Like we have, when we go look at spaces, we kind of have this like list of like non-negotiables now, like this is what we need. If we can't get those things, like it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. So a lot of, you know, learnings on that as well. But that was tough.
Was there any point as you were kind of getting started where you almost gave up, or you felt like this is just, did you hear a lot of no, or was it just kind of like, did you just gain momentum really quickly?
We gained momentum really quickly, but there was definitely points where like, I don't know if I can do this, because coming from like my seat of like, I'd never run a business before. I didn't know what I was doing. And you know, when you're the boss, like no one's ever like, you're doing great, it's fine. Right. Like things happen. So like all I was getting, there was like a point, you know, before we, before we took on capital, that it was just me and my husband running everything, doing payroll, making the schedules, opening the studios, giving feedback to teachers. Like it was just us doing everything. And there was a point where I was like, I don't know if I can do this.
How
like,
did you guys not separate? Yeah. Like, how do I say this?
We got close. It's hard because you're together all the time. And like there's no, you know, work, personal life separation. And at this point too, it's still like, this is a startup. And like this business is my life right now. I'm like, I'm cool with it. Like I'm okay with it. I'm going to answer emails at 10 p.m. at night. And like, that's just what it is. And I, you know, you always read those things where like, put your phone away by 8 p.m. and don't look at it. And don't do these things for a healthy relationship. Do this, do that. And that doesn't work for us. He's actually launching a new company this week. And, you know, it just doesn't work for us. Like we are going to be on our phones, and that's just how it is. And that works better for us, mm-hmm. actually, because if we're putting things away and we're both sitting there like this, like really like tense, and like, does someone need something?
Yeah.
Like missing all these things. Like it's actually worse for our relationship. So right now, like that's where we are. And I think I had to come to terms with a lot of that and stop, you know, looking at my relationship and comparing it to other people's, because it's not the same. You know, we're in different situations, like there's a different dynamic. So, you know, hiring a team definitely helped, because it took, you know, a lot of those sort of individual tasks that like neither one of us loved doing off of our plates. So, you know, he would come home, sit on the couch, I'd be like, excuse me, you haven't answered my email from 5 hours ago. What are you doing? He's like, I'm sexy. Trying to relax. Yeah, like real sexy on my part. As I'm standing over him, I'm like, you didn't answer me.
I'm the boss.
Yeah. Hello.
You guys were together from the very beginning?
Yeah. So, okay, well. Yeah, we were.
And what was he doing?
So he was in digital advertising.
Okay.
I left my job in, spring of 2015, and he left a couple months later to, you know, do this full time with me.
What was that like, leaving what I would imagine was a stable, kind of secure situation and going into the unknown?
It was tough. You know, I think luckily I left first, my job first, because he made way more money than me. Just, you know, fashion salary, super fun. Yeah. Not great. So I left first, and then when it kind of became apparent that we could do this and, you know, pay our rent, eat, you know, do normal life things, he left his too. So I think that was, you know, it was kind of a, and you know, I had worked for 2 full years at that point while doing the studio too. And it was like, all right, I can always go back to fashion, right? Mm-hmm. It's always going to be there. Like I was in like, you know, I was on the wholesale side. So that stuff is kind of always there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I took a little time off, I could always kind of re-enter and, you know, see if it didn't work out. So
what did you major in that you were working in fashion?
So I majored in consumer science.
Oh,
with
look
a
at you.
Focus on retail wholesale management.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so you can always fall back.
Yeah.
Not that you're going to have to.
I hope not. But yeah, it's super interesting. I think starting this business, it gave me, I was always working with people. Mm-hmm. Like I was always, you know, my role within that, you know, my past life was to kind of be the go-between between the designers, and the stores, right? Like how to take this designer's vision and all these pieces they've designed as a collection and make it translate for the buyers of these stores. Like how does it fit in with their customer? Like what story are they telling their customer that also the designer is going to be happy with and know that their designs are being represented as a collection, right? So I think coming with that lens of that sort of, you know, storytelling and making sure the consumer and the designer is happy and how to bridge the gap between brand messaging and the physical product was really important.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a vision for what you wanted your brand to be right from the very beginning? Because, I mean, the fact that you're the client and you're like, I did this for me. This is so did you, were you always clear from the start? Because
yeah.
It seems like it's very solid. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what Y7 is mm-hmm. across the board.
Yep.
So,
yeah, you know, one of my big frustrations as like a young 20 something, like trying to go to all these classes is that there was no consistency. So for me, it was like, I want to know how long I'm going to work out for. I want to know what I'm going to get. I want to know how I'm going to feel after, you know, and that's just because like someone with limited resources, unlimited time, like I didn't have time or money to waste mm-hmm. and I wanted something I could really rely on. So, you know, 95% of our schedule is one type of class. It's our We Flow Hard. So you're going through three flows. You know what you're getting. You're always going to have like a slow burn portion. You're always going to do the three flows. You're always sweating. You're always listening to great music. And it's always 60 minutes. You know, like I think you'll always hear those horror stories from people who are like, I was in yoga class, said it was going to be 60 minutes and 90 minutes yeah. later. And you're like, I got to go to work.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
So I wanted that consistency.
Like who has the time?
I know. I wish I did. But for me, I was like, you know, yeah, I don't know. You just I think when people, again, it's like that thing where people are choosing to spend an hour at the studio, mm-hmm. you know, and to give them that consistency and something to rely on, I think is really, really important because, you know, your day could be really, really great or it could be really, really shitty.
Right.
And knowing that you have something to count on is really important.
So with over 300 employees, 12 studios right now, mm-hmm. and then you're working on another one, right, here in the city?
Yeah, we signed the lease for the Park Slope Studio in Brooklyn.
Trendy.
Yeah.
So it's trendy.
It's going to be great. We're starting construction on that this week,
Amazing.
Actually. Yeah, and then we're expanding the Flatiron location. Uh-huh. We're adding a second studio there.
Crazy.
And showers for anyone who frequents Flatiron. We're finally getting showers. I'm so sorry you had been so long. So we're starting construction on that. And then we're looking to enter a couple new markets as well this year and next. So a lot of real estate tours in new cities.
Yeah. Wow. So how do you stay productive? I mean, do you have any tips for like how you manage it all? Life hacks.
I think the one thing that I've learned to do is not be so like married to a plan. It's never going to go the way you want it to.
Right.
There's always going to be hiccups. There's always going to be something that happens and you can't let yourself kind of get thrown by a surprise or something you weren't expecting. And that's hard to kind of do, right? When you have like, I have really, really high expectations for my team and for myself and for how many studios I want to open. But I know that like I have to be a little flexible there because especially when you're dealing with construction and things that are out of your hands, you have to learn to really be malleable with that and be able to kind of like pivot really quickly. And so that, you know, for me, it's, you know, looking ahead, but also knowing that like really not only, you know, planning out for a couple weeks at a time.
Right. And then how do you take care of yourself?
You know, I get this question a lot and, you know, I love, like, I have so much respect for people who have like a serious like self-care routine. Like I am such a gross loser. Like I am in my sweatpants, like with a bag of popcorn and a glass of wine, like watching Netflix, like just like dead in the eyes. I was like, that's how I turn off and like how yeah. I really like.
I don't think there's anything yeah. wrong with that. If that's what you do to relax, then.
Yeah, it's not
you
sexy.
You need to be able to turn off.
I wish I was like, you know, I have a dry brush and I really want to make that part
oh,
of my
God.
Routine, but it hurts.
I have never figured out the dry brush. I've tried. I've
it
watched
hurts my
YouTube.
Body.
It,
yes,
I don't like
I
it.
I have too.
I don't feel my lymphatic system draining. I don't look.
See,
I don't get it.
Here's my thing. I don't know if it's working or not. Like,
yeah.
How long do I have to do this to know if it's working? Like, what's the time frame? Like, how long do I have to dry brush for in a consistent manner to be like, my lymph system feels great?
Right.
I don't know what that means.
No, I don't either.
And I want to know so badly. Yeah. I wish someone would tell me. But
guys, slide in her DMs.
Slide into my DMs. Please give me all of the dry brushing tips. Yeah. So that's one thing I don't know. I always look
popcorn
at that.
Popcorn and wine?
Popcorn and wine.
Love it.
You know.
Netflix? Great. What are you watching on Netflix right now?
So.
I need a new show because I feel like I've watched everything.
I watched everything. But we're actually right now like rewatching Dexter.
So good.
So throwback. So good. Well, they took that like weird like 2-year break mm-hmm. like in between like seasons like I don't know like 3 and 4 and so yeah. I kind of lost it. So I'd only really seen up to season 3 and I was like.
Yeah, me too. I didn't really know. I think I fell off at like season 2 actually.
Yeah. And it's a good one to binge because, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of like elements that happen. Yeah. So. I'm doing that right now.
I like that.
You know, I really like true crime and murder, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's really embarrassing. I probably shouldn't have said that. Yeah.
True crime and murder? That's not embarrassing.
I feel like it's everyone's.
Do you listen to, like true crime podcasts?
Of course I do.
And which ones?
My Favorite Murder
okay,
is
I haven't
just,
listened to that one.
Karen in Georgia. This is my love note to you. You're just bravo. They're so funny. They're so down to earth. It's like really like, and it's I find it very fascinating. Like I was always like a Forensic Files watcher. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. I used to be really into like SVU and that stuff growing up. And then I feel like when I got older, it got a little disturbing. So
it's a little too real.
Yeah.
It's a little too real, but
I like the podcast. Like, what was the one? Teacher's Pet.
Teacher's Pet. To that? Oh yeah,
like 25 hours of just rap.
And what was the one that they just made a TV show out of?
The really popular one, right? The one that started it all. Serial?
No. Now I have to look it up. Hold on. Please hold, everybody. Dirty John.
Dirty John.
Whew.
Yeah, that was crazy. Did you watch the TV show?
Yeah, I listened to it first and I watched the show.
It was kind of a hot mess, but it was like,
wow.
Yeah, I know. Like, but didn't you feel like the whole family was kind of batshit?
Yeah.
Like the woman, it was like, I can't really feel bad for you in this scenario.
You know, listen, everyone, ask questions about the people that you're around.
And like, pay attention to red flags.
Yes.
And don't keep taking people back over and over and over again. And
agreed.
Don't date a guy who has like a record like that.
Yeah. It was so fascinating. Like, what this guy, like, what a weirdo.
Yes. Super creepy. And did you listen to Dr. Death?
I haven't listened to that
one.
Oh
my God. I'm so jealous that you haven't listened to it.
All right.
Now you have. Oh. So good. I like that better than Dirty John.
I like hoard that stuff because like I don't want it to be over.
I know. That's the nice thing about LA is that when you have a good podcast like that, I'm like, where can I drive to? I can drive to Silver Lake and then the valley and then downtown.
I don't mind.
Sure. Yeah, I know. It's so funny. Okay, so Netflix, wine, popcorn, self-care. I love it.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for entrepreneurs?
You know, I kind of love the way that, you know, to toot my own horn a tiny bit. Like, I love the way Wise Haven happened because I think it's proof that you don't need a business plan. You don't need, you know, all this funding to start. You just have to do it and you have to care about it. If it's something you care about, I don't think there's any way you can fail. Like, you have to really love what you're doing. And I think it's a nice little thing to be like, I don't know how to make a business plan.
Right.
I don't know how to do that. I didn't have one. Like, you just start, right? And you learn as you go. Like, you're never going to know everything. That's just, you're not going to. Like, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know a lot of things. So, I mean, there's so much that I have to learn, but you figure it out, right? And if you love it, then it doesn't feel like work.
Mm-hmm.
I love going to the office.
Yeah.
Everyone makes fun of me. I like, love it.
That's amazing. It's like I heard something recently when they were talking about the difference between passion and purpose. And like passion is like what sets your soul on fire, right?
Yeah.
And then purpose is taking that and using it to help other people.
Yeah.
And that's like what you're doing.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Yeah. And I love it. And it's fun. And, you know, It's, you know, and again, like, it depends. I think it depends what kind of business you're going into. I think product is always really, really hard because you do need a lot of startup. You do need a lot of startup capital for that. But, you know, if you love it, you love it.
Mm-hmm. What role, if any, did social media play? Because you're like a kind of a bit of an influencer there.
Kinda. It played a huge role for the company. Mm-hmm. We built our business off of Instagram. We didn't have any money. We like just got a marketing budget like a year and a half ago. And that's completely how we built the business. Just wow. By Instagram. That's how we announce theme classes. It's how we announce a new studio. Like everything we did was solely through Instagram up until like probably like 2 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Crazy.
What is the best advice you ever received?
I feel like a broken record saying this because it's truly the best thing that anyone has ever said to me. I was with one of our instructors who is has since become a very dear friend of mine. And I was, you know, just complaining about a situation. I was just kind of like venting, and it's something that I couldn't do anything about. And she looked at me and she was like, you know, my teacher said this to me. And what he said to her was, it's like this now. Mm. And I was like, oh, shit. Like me complaining and like doing those, like just like sitting in that space of the past and like, there's nothing I can do to change it. This is how it is now. And I can only move forward with how it is now. I can't go back. And so living in that place of the past is like really, it's stressful. It's, you know, gives people anxiety, and you have to really live in the now and do the best that you can with what you have at this moment and make choices based off that. And yeah. That was like, it was a really big mind shift for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's important. And it's like when you're living in the past, you're reliving things over and over.
Yeah, and
over.
And you tend to make choices
or
out
the
of,
future.
Yeah, and you tend to make choices out of fear, right? Out of scenarios that have played out differently in the past, or, you know, a fear of like what could happen
mm-hmm.
if you make this choice, when really like you're never going to know if you don't actually make the choice. So
yeah.
You should just,
yeah.
You know, use the information you have now and go forward with that.
So is that like how you walk through fear?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I think there's always, you know, a lot of fear on my part, you know, making decisions because it does affect so many people. And, you know, I have to be really conscious of that. But that's kind of, you know, you can't stay in a state of, you know, fear like that or mm-hmm. ambiguity. Like you have to make a decision, and knowing that, you know, nothing is permanent, everything's going to change is for me really comforting when it comes to, you know, having to make big decisions.
Mm-hmm. So what is next for Y7?
So we are doing our first teacher training outside of New York. It is happening in LA. So if anyone's interested, we still have spots left. Little plug for that. And then we are planning to open in Chicago this year.
Wow.
Which I'm really excited about. It's going to be our first market outside of New York and LA. And I'm just so stoked about it. And, you know, I'm from the Midwest. So
yeah,
it's kind of like,
say,
going,
like
home
going home
for me. And then, you know, just looking into more markets across the states. I really, really want to get into DC, Philly, Seattle, Texas, like all of that. Like, I think there's, you know, such opportunity there, and everyone's really looking for a way to connect. So I'm just really looking forward to building more of the community that we have here and making more connection.
Taking over the world.
Trying.
Love it. Okay, so let's do some listener questions. Do you have a morning routine? And if so, what is it?
My morning routine goes coffee. Very first thing, coffee, always. I really just brush my teeth and wash my face. I'm getting my eyebrows microbladed today because I'm really working hard at being that much more low maintenance. I'm like, what can I do to literally not do anything?
Well, I can tell you all about it because I just did mine.
You did?
A few weeks ago. Yes.
It looked great.
Thank you. I feel like I got Botox right before I came out here, and I was telling Kennedy, I'm like, sometimes my eyes are really lifted, and she's like, you just got Botox. I'm like, oh yeah.
So they're right, like, that thing.
It's like a little different shape than, but yeah, the microblading though.
I'm really excited.
It's life changing.
Yeah, and I have like, I'm half Asian, I'm half Japanese, right. So I have like very thin.
They look
eyebrows.
Really good though. It's going to look really good.
I'm really excited.
I'm all about doing, like, I feel like all the beauty stuff, and I do a lot. Like,
I love
surgery.
All that stuff.
Yeah. I do Botox. I do, like, whatever. But it's all to be as low maintenance as possible.
Yeah, it's really like, I really did wake up like this.
Yeah.
Like, when I have eyelash extensions on, I have literally never looked prettier in my life. I'm like, I look amazing all the time.
Yeah, I have. The only thing with lash extensions is they're really hard to maintain. And then you get used to your eyes with them on. And so when they come off, you're like, oh.
It's like, so scary. Yeah. And I had to stop getting them because I sweat so much in class and it makes them heavy and like they fall out more. So I have to like.
I was just reading something that now they're doing, or maybe they've been doing it for a while, but they do eyelash perms. Mm. Have you heard that?
Yes, I've gotten my lashes. I've gotten my lashes lifted before, and it's a game changer. I would try that. Okay. Yeah,
yeah, because I'm trying to quit lashes, so maybe that's
like
the way
it's like quitting cigarettes.
It really,
it's like I can't quit.
I can't quit. I started doing it 3 years ago, and I was doing it for one event, and I was like, "Do not take these off my eyes. I
don't leave them on forever."
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Try a lash lift. It's like I do a keratin lash lift. Okay. And it's great.
Okay. Good to know. Cool. So that's your morning routine.
Yes, I know. I'm sorry. That was like not, I'm sure that was not helpful.
I like the honesty though.
Yeah.
People are like, I get up and I make my tea and I like,
yeah, I, you know what? It goes back to that thing of like self-care. Like I so wish I was that person. Like I try so hard to wake up early. I set my alarm for 7 a.m. every day.
Do you snooze?
Absolutely. For literally an hour.
This one. I was sitting, I was meditating this morning, and every 5 minutes I hear, like the alarm going off, and then 5 minutes.
Yeah, like I try so hard, and then I'm always like, meh, you're fine, and then I roll out of bed. I'm like furiously brushing my teeth. I got the like toothpaste still like on my face as I'm like running out the door. But I do use, so I wash my face with a Cetaphil cleansing bar. And then I use Elta MD moisturizer.
Best.
The best.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like my day is like kind of funny. So I never know if I'm like going to class or not. So I tend not to put anything on my face, like unless I'm like going somewhere.
Yeah.
Where people are going to see me or maybe take a picture.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
Is to like not.
Yeah.
She doesn't wear makeup either. How many hours of sleep do you normally get?
Oh,
with your
I'm a really bad sleeper. Like it takes me a long time to fall asleep. Mm-hmm. I'm usually between like 6 and 8, depending on the day. I get a good amount.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it takes me so long to fall asleep. So I've never like, I'm like in bed at like 10:30 and like I'm awake till like midnight always.
I feel like that's something, I mean, I know it happens to a lot of people, but that happens to me when I get here to the city. Because it's just like a different energy. Like it's like in LA, it's like after 9 or 10 o'clock, there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
Here, it just feels a little more like frenetic. I don't know how to describe it.
I don't know what, I've always been like that though. Mm. So I don't know what it is about me. I'm really special.
Just take some Ambien.
I know. Yeah, I do take I take a lot of melatonin. I'm like, that gets me.
Yeah.
That gets me. That'll get me like 30 minutes. I'm out. I try not to because I'm like,
groggy.
Yeah, it makes me a little groggy in the morning. Set like 75 alarms instead.
Okay, so that's kind of similar to this next question. How do you handle the long work hours of being a CEO and maintain your health?
I drink a lot of water.
I thought you were going to say wine.
I do that too. No, I do that too. But I also drink a lot of water. Like I even find like, you know, if I do have a couple glasses of wine or whatever, like if I forget to drink like a full bottle of water before bed, I will wake up like with a little headache or just like not like energized, and I drink so much water. And for me, like, I don't know if it helps anyone else, but like that like water intake for me is really, really important. And again, I think it's like, you know, the thing where you have to find what truly relaxes you and where you're able to shut off. Like for me, it's not like I get anxiety when I get a manicure and a pedicure. Something's taking too long. I can't use my hands.
I do too.
I can't sit there. It drives me crazy.
Yeah. I can't deal with places that do them separately.
Oh, no, I
need to be at the same time. And yeah. So antsy.
No, I don't know why I get so antsy. But like for some people, like they're in the massage chair, they're relaxed and they're having a great time. So I think you just have to find what works for you and like pay attention to like what makes you really happy and what makes you really relaxed. If that's like going out, like go out.
Right.
Like if that's sitting at home alone with a book, do that. I think it looks different for everybody. So, and it looks different for me at different points in my life. But I take vitamins. especially when I travel.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan. You travel a lot.
I'm a big fan of the wellness pill.
I don't know that one.
Ooh, girl. What? It's great.
Do you know about that?
It's just called wellness formula. It's literally just called wellness formula. Everyone's like, who's it by? I'm like, I don't know.
I'm writing
it
down.
It's literally called wellness formula, and it's like got everything in it. And I take one of those every day, and you can take like, I don't know, you can take as many as you want, really. It's just, you know, vitamins. So like if I'm feeling like a little bit sick, like I'm popping like six a day. Like nice. If I feel like I'm getting a cold or something like that I know I can fight, it's like a lot of that stuff. So I think it's so funny too, because we do so much when we don't feel good.
Right.
Like when we feel sick, we're like so quick to take all these things.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all, I think, as a society, really bad at like preventative care. And I'm trying to be really, really good at that, because like I don't want to get to the point where my body's about to shut down. Right. I want to like maintain it and make sure I'm like eating right and doing all those things. So I think it's a lot of like having a balanced diet, you know, water, wellness pills.
I love it.
Who we got? Is there any weird ones we want to do?
Where's your mom from?
My mom is from Kobe, Japan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you go to Japan a lot?
Not as much as I'd like to. I did live there for 2 years as a kid. My mom got a job transfer for 2 years. So, yeah. But she came to the States for an exchange program and met my dad and never left. And they'll be married for 40 years in September.
That's so cool.
I know. My parents
are in their 40s as well.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They had a little blip this year, but they're doing good now.
You know what? Relationships are hard, man.
Can you imagine? No. I'm sorry. Being with somebody for that
long. That's a very long time.
Yes, very long.
So, relationships are hard. It's a lot of work.
Full stop and sentence. Okay. Do you know about exercise deconditioning?
No. What is that?
I don't know. How would you overcome it? Do you know Kennedy? Kennedy's a trainer. I don't think her mic is on because we didn't have her included.
Exercise deconditioning. Hold on.
So the person just wanted to know, how do you get in shape after, if you've fallen off?
Oh, if you've fallen off. I mean,
I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, I think that's. Yeah, so, I mean, I would start slow. I think there's, you know, go on a walk for 10 minutes. And start that way. Like, you can never, like, I find that sometimes people get really, really excited to, like, you know, if you're in an accident or whatever it is has caused you to, you know, have to stop exercising and working out. I think people get really, really excited to, like, get back into it. And that's when injury happens. So, you know, take it slow. Like, be patient with your body.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone, you know, we live in these things all the time. We expect them to, like, perform miracles for us. But we have to treat them really, really nicely. So, you know, it's like anything else that you haven't done in a long time. You have to kind of get back into it.
Yeah.
You know, like I played soccer as a kid. I'm not, you know, going to the World Cup. So.
No?
No.
No.
Absolutely not. I'm also really bad at sports. So we'll just leave that at that.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. It was so good to finally meet you. Where can everybody find you and where can they find Y7?
You can follow Y7 on Instagram at Y7 Studio. If you think I'm funny and want to hang out with me, it's at Sarah, Sarah underscore Ayako, Ayako.
Yay. Thank you.
Thank you.
As always, thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you guys sharing on social media, sharing with people in your lives. As always, please rate, review, subscribe if you haven't already, and do all of the things. I'll talk to you next week.